Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. It's that time of year, the new year, and it always brings new challenges and new goals. Today, I hope to provide you with new inspirations as well. I will share profiles of 8 people who are absolutely great in many different ways. 8 who are great. Information comes from Blind New World. The headline for the article reads, "A Look Back at Last Year, 2018. These are stories of the Blind New World." 2018 has been another incredible year in the Blind New World. We love hearing and sharing your stories of adventure, triumph, love, family, learning, and so much more. These stories are what keep us going and what keep our community strong. Get to know each and every one of the people who have shared their stories with us this year. And if you're feeling inspired, reach out to us and we'll share your story too. They have a website, www.blindnewworld.org. And they also have a Facebook group by the same name, Blind New World. The first person you're going to hear about, number one on the list, is Adam Roberge. Adam is a 24-year-old who has been blind since birth, and he's been interested in cars since preschool. In his post, which he titles Driven to Succeed, he shared his love for everything automotive and how that put him on the road to a career in cars. He writes, "My name is Adam. I'm 24 years old, and I have been blind since birth. Since the fall of 2016, I have worked at Mercedes-Benz of Boston and in the corporate office for Herb Chambers, a company with 56 dealerships that sell and service a wide variety of foreign and domestic vehicles all across New England. The dealership where I work is in Somerville, Massachusetts. It's one of 3 Mercedes-Benz dealers in the Herb Chambers group. I have been interested in cars since I was in preschool. I have always been curious to know what kind of cars people drive, including the year, the make, the model, the color, and what all that means. If a person drives a full-size SUV or van, they would have more than one kid. And if they downsize to a smaller car, that usually means their kids are getting older. I'm observant to every detail of cars, from the interior to the exterior, whether it's a Stanley Steamer or a 2018 Mercedes-Benz S-Class sedan. How am I able to learn about cars without being able to see? I remember the details of what people drive currently or in the past. I do internet research, I listen to car reviews on YouTube, and I check out cars at dealerships and auto shows. I also listen to podcasts like one that's called Car Talk. This is a show on National Public Radio that was hosted by Tom and Ray Magliozzi, who are called America's Funniest Auto Mechanics. I enjoy learning about car culture around the world. I have been in many cars, including some that were manufactured before World War I. In my lifetime, there have been 7 cars in my immediate family, and we have gotten many years of use out of them. So I know which cars are great, safe, reliable, and which are the best vehicles to buy, as well as which ones to avoid. Aside from the 7 long-term cars I have had in my life, I have also ridden in 35 rental cars in the North American, European, Caribbean markets. Over the years, with all these 42 cars that I mentioned, I have learned the pros and the cons of each and what people should look for when buying a new or a used vehicle. In 2010, I enrolled in the secondary program at the Perkins School for the Blind. While I was there, I got a Braille Note Apex. This is a new note taker that has built-in internet. I was able to research cars independently without a sighted person having to read me the information. Once I got my first iPhone and became comfortable with it, I started listening to car reviews on YouTube. Before I knew it, 2015 was approaching and I was going to graduate from Perkins. After weighing all my options, I applied to and was accepted to the Threshold program at Lesley University. A year and two internships at nonprofit organizations later, I decided to do what I love for work. I began searching for an internship that would allow me to pursue my love of cars. I researched local car dealers and sent letters with my resume to the general managers. In my research, I learned that Herb Chambers is the best automotive group to work for in the greater Boston area. So with that in mind, I set out to get references from people that I know who also know Herb. He is a big supporter of the Massachusetts Eye and Ear Center and also the Boston Celtics, and I was able to tap into contacts in both of those places. At one point, I had three interviews in 1 week, two of which were at Herb Chambers dealerships, and those dealers were the Mercedes-Benz of Boston and Herb Chambers Toyota of Boston. I was soon hired for an internship. I became responsible for researching Mercedes-Benz cars and making up quizzes for the sales staff, and that position helped me secure my current job. I worked 20 hours a week writing blogs to help people understand why Mercedes-Benz cars are some of the best vehicles on the market. He ends with a really strong statement and says, "I am really happy with my job." Next, we move on to number two, person who is great, second person who is great in this program. Her name is Sylvia Cerellini, and she starts out by a quote that you'll hear later in the article as well. She sort of sets the tone by saying, "The truth is simple. I want to thank Vicky for what she's teaching us." Sylvia's four-year-old daughter, Vicky, is losing her sight due to a rare genetic condition called labor congenital amaurosis. There are lots of ups and downs and lots of lessons in between, but in the end, it's all about learning through love. So Sylvia writes in her own words, "Vicky is our four-year-old girl, and she is losing her sight due to a rare genetic condition called labor congenital amaurosis. And I would like to take a moment to thank her. I have redrafted this post many times, writing and rewriting all the little things that I thank Vicky for. No words seem to capture all the emotions and feelings. The truth is simple. I want to thank Vicky for what she is teaching us. When you hug me strongly and tell me, 'Mommy, I love you so much,' you are teaching me unconditional love. When you ask me to read your favorite book for the 20th time, you are teaching me patience. When you take more time to complete a puzzle and you won't leave until it's finished, you are teaching me persistence. When you struggle to see a little tiny Lego piece on the floor and you use your hands to find it, you are teaching me to make the best of what we have. When you come up with a funny mix of languages, you are teaching me to be creative. When you show your contagious smile, you are teaching me that laughing is the best cure for many things. When you kiss me goodnight every night, you are teaching me to be kind with others. When you insist on fastening your buttons all by myself, as you say, you are teaching me determination. When you stop on the way to school to look at a beautiful flower, you are teaching me to appreciate the small things in our world. When you proudly explain to your friends, using the words, 'Many people wear glasses and so do I,' you are teaching me to stand up for myself. When you run to hug and kiss your brother, you are teaching me that family is the most important thing in life. When you tell me, 'Mommy, don't worry, I won't fall,' you are teaching me that we need to trust each other. When you make sure that your blanket fully covers your teddy, even if it leaves you uncovered, you are teaching me to take care of others before taking care of myself. When you tell me, 'Mommy, help me, it's all dark,' you are teaching me not to be afraid to reach out for help. When you ask me when you will no longer wear glasses, you are teaching me to have hope in the future. What do you thank your kids for?" This was written by Sylvia Cerellini about her daughter, Vicky, who's 4 years old. Next, we have a person whose name is Begonia Mantarola. She's number 3 on our list of people who are great. At the age of 70, Begonia decided to tackle a new adventure, snowshoeing. Her post is titled, Strong, Comfortable, Confident, and Ready to Do It Again. And she writes in her own words, My name is Begonia Mantarola, and I'm from San Sebastian in the Basque country of northern Spain. I used to work as a hairdresser. When I was 35, doctors told me I had retinitis pigmentosa, but it wasn't until I was 50 that I had to stop working because I was becoming completely blind. Since then, I have refocused my life on reinforcing my personal growth. I do theater, yoga, Pilates, and hiking. Recently, I decided to tackle a new adventure, snowshoeing. On this trip, we snowshoed for almost 5 hours, and we covered a distance of 7 kilometers, all around the Larabalagua Nordic ski area in the Navarre Pyrenees in Spain. We were listening to our paths and the indications of our great guides, whose names were Alfonso and Javi, from a company called Basque Lands Way. They were fantastic, using their sensibility to guide us in such a free way. I have to say that never in my life had I imagined I could do snowshoeing by myself. Walking by myself, going uphill, inside the forest, amidst a blizzard, what a powerful connection with nature. I was feeling really strong while doing it. I was comfortable, I was confident, and I want to repeat it. This was the best experience I have ever had in the mountains. I am 70 years old and really happy with the experience we just had, surrounded by snow. Now that I've tried it, I know that it is wonderful, incredible. People around me say that they see more brightness in my eyes since I have returned from the snowshoeing experience. And now, in case you're interested, that tour company or that guiding company that she mentioned, Basque Lands Way, this is an inclusive travel agency that works closely with visually impaired people in the northern territories of Spain. They do have a website, www.basquelandsway.com. And this is spelled B-A-S-Q-U-E-L-A-N-D-S-W-A-Y, basquelandsway.com. Next, we come to number 4 on our list. His name is Doug Goist, and it's spelled G-O-I-S-T. Doug Goist says, people who are blind play ice hockey on skates with sticks? Yes, we do. And so do players on teams in New York, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Colorado, Missouri, with new teams being formed across the country. His blog is, or his contribution to this article is called Miracle on Ice, Our Blind Story. Doug himself writes, ever since the era of the founding fathers, Washington, D.C. has been the de facto epicenter of political and social causes, playing host to millions of people from all walks of life, gathering and marching across the striking backdrop of the National Mall. Earlier this year, another huge crowd gathered in another part of the city to support another important cause. Yes, there was lots of shouting, but this time it wasn't in frustration or anger. It was shouts of jubilation and pride. After 44 years of struggle, the Washington Capitals NHL hockey team had finally captured the most coveted trophy in all of sports, the Stanley Cup. A mere 3 days later, and a mere 8 miles from that all-caps celebration outside of Capital One Arena, another D.C. hockey team hit the painted ice with a similar sense of hope and purpose. And like the Capitals franchise team and its long-suffering fans, the team is intimately familiar with struggle. Except the struggle that the Washington Wheelers hockey team faces has nothing to do with wins, losses, or even the sport of hockey itself. You see, each member of the Wheelers is facing the challenges of living with blindness, a condition none of us has ever asked for or wanted or even felt emotionally prepared to fully handle when we could no longer ignore or deny its impact on our daily lives. People who are blind play ice hockey? On skates? With sticks? Yes, we do. The funny thing is, these were the same words that I asked my friend and teammate and Wheeler's co-founder, Craig Fitzpatrick, when he first approached me to try blind skating. It didn't even occur to me until that fateful morning when I found myself unwittingly sitting in a locker room at the Washington Capitals practice rink and being strapped up with actual goalie gear that I realized Craig was serious. You want me to what? Stop a large puck being hurled at me that makes noise? Wait, did you say it's also made of steel? Thanks, buddy. Go call Dominic Hasek. Check, please. A little over 2 years later, somehow and for some reason, I still find myself between the pipes. Sure, the net is a foot shorter than what the Caps superstar netminder Braden Holtby defended in the Stanley Cup final, but it is the same width, and nearly every other rule is the same, including getting that big black steel puck containing those 8 metal ball bearings past the goalie. But in fact, there is a reason I still do it. I play to support my incredible teammates who inspire me on a daily basis. They are of all ages, boys, girls, men, and women. They are a reminder that the true measure of a person has nothing to do with the measure of a person's visual acuity, and almost everything to do with a person's character, attitude, hard work, and perseverance in an often selfish, superficial, judgmental, and uncaring world. In an age of few real heroes, they are mine. In an economy where nearly 70% of working-age Americans who are blind and unemployed, underemployed, and often impoverished, they have found a way to put their concerned parents' minds at ease. They have found a way to support themselves, their children, and their families. Some of the Wheelers were born visually impaired, and some of us have had blindness thrust upon us. On the ice, it doesn't matter. We are a team, and everyone contributes. The play is fast, the skaters are fast, and the puck sounds an awful lot like someone kicking a coffee can full of marbles down the street. For me, the weekly practices at Kettler Capital's Iceplex are therapeutic. For an hour each Sunday, I can finally turn my mind away from the topic of blindness. For an hour each Sunday, I can put aside my sometimes achingly painful visual memories of the rich, colorful world I know lies just beyond my grasp, and I can shift my focus toward the slap of sticks, the swoosh of the skates, and in the direction of my sworn enemy, that sliding, whizzing, noisy, elusive metal puck. And I think about the other players across the country, our friends across the border in Canada who started this whole sport a long time ago, and about our incredible coaches, volunteers, and sponsors who give us their valuable time and resources and ask for nothing in return. They, too, are my heroes. Hockey ice time is expensive. The equipment is expensive. And travel to games can be costly for blind hockey players. So every little donation of ice time, volunteer time, and money helps. And while some might say all of this doesn't quite compare to the original Miracle on Ice back in the 1980 Winter Olympics, the fact that the Washington Wheelers blind hockey team is playing a sport that no one thought was even possible for people affected by blindness is an even bigger miracle for all of us. Next person on the list is Derek Daniel. Derek considers himself a husband, father, and content creator who just happens to be visually impaired. In his My Blind story, it's called Living My Normal Blind Life to the Fullest. He encourages everyone to focus on whatever it is that makes them the happiest. He writes, in his own words, "My story is probably pretty boring to some. I am a husband, father, and content creator who just happens to be visually impaired. I spend my days at home making sure my kids are taken care of, making podcasts and videos, preparing dinner, and so forth. It's not the most exciting life, but it is my life. And I think it displays what being a VIP is all about. It's more than trying to do amazing things as a blind person. It's about getting up every day and living your life to the fullest. I lost my sight at the age of 18 to a genetic disease called Leber's hereditary optic neuropathy. This is abbreviated LHON. I was totally unprepared to lose my sight, as most people are. But over the years, I've learned to adapt the things around me to live life each day to the fullest. With my entertainment and ministry background, I now strive to help others discover life after losing sight through my website. This is called www.lifeaftersightloss.com. I create encouraging, entertaining, and informative content, such as my weekly podcasts, which is called Life After Sight Loss Radio. And I do videos on my YouTube channel. The beauty is my story and your story, while very different, have something wonderful in common. We are living our lives each day to the fullest. This was the story of great person number 5, Derek Daniel. Number 6, we have Erin Austin. And she starts with a quote that says, "We get asked all the time, why did you adopt a child that you knew would be blind?" In her post, which is titled, "We Can All Be Exactly Who We Were Made to Be," Erin writes in her own words, "We all have those definitive moments, those huge moments in life when you just know things will be forever divided into before and after. Meeting our daughter Primrose was one of those moments. Our family of 4 became a family of 5 through an international adoption in January of 2016. We saw a photo and a description of our daughter on a Facebook adoption advocacy group, and we instantly fell in love. The photo showed her as an infant, her eyes the most piercing silver blue, and the description included in her diagnosis, blindness from congenital glaucoma. For the first 23 years of her life, her 23 months of her life, her glaucoma went untreated. So by the time we got to her, she was in great pain and was clearly miserable. Primrose's blindness has often been overshadowed by her other health issues. Her blindness is simply part of who she is. This beautiful and smart little girl who loves to find the light wherever we go and navigates the world with her hands. She is not yet talking or walking, so we are learning to communicate in other ways, by touch, question, and response. She is brilliant, even with her developmental delays. Even with a genetic puzzle we are still piecing together. She is funny, even with no words. She is intuitive and clever, even though she cannot walk yet. She is everything anyone could ever want in a child, loving, affectionate, curious, precocious, joyful. And our family simply would be incomplete without her. All of her, her complexities, her fierce hugs, her silly singing, and her determination. There is not one thing holding her back from life, nothing. And she is continuously teaching our family that we put labels on things because it helps us to quantify them, put them in neat little stacks. But labels are junk. We can do anything we want. We can all be exactly who we were made to be, simply ourselves. No extra labels, no constraints. If we are willing to love one another, support one another, push one another, and remind one another we are enough the way we are, striving for more is simply a bonus. So going back to that question, why did you adopt a child you knew would be blind? Our answer is simply, why wouldn't we? Next, we come to someone whose name is Sue Ricketts, R-I-C-K-E-T-T-S, and she writes something that she's titled Our Nystagmus Story. Do you know about that condition? I'll spell it. N-Y-S-T-A-G-M-U-S. Our Nystagmus Story is the title of her story. She writes, "When my baby daughter was 6 weeks old, somebody wearing a white coat told me she was blind. She wasn't blind. I knew that. But I also knew there was something wrong with her eyes. It turned out to be nystagmus. I had never heard of it before. From that day on, our nystagmus journey began. Nystagmus is characterized by uncontrolled eye movements, which make focusing very difficult. It's a lifelong condition and cannot be corrected with glasses or contact lenses. Most people with this condition have impaired depth or distance perception, which can mean mobility problems. Reading and writing are obviously a challenge. My daughter is one of the many idiopathic cases, a fancy medical term for cause unknown. Like the estimated 1 in 400 children in school with nystagmus, my daughter needed a lot of support, adapted worksheets, large print textbooks, extra time taking exams. I remember it took her months to read the first Harry Potter book in an 18-point font, but she did it and has never stopped reading since then. My little blind baby taught me all I know about how to support her from the early years and on through school. My little baby now has a degree in philosophy and a successful career. She will never be able to drive, so she lives and works in a big city. She frequently stumbles on steps, knocks over drinks, and even occasionally wears mismatched shoes. But despite her disability, she is certainly living her life to the fullest. And me? I'm privileged to work for the Nystagmus Network, a registered charity in the UK. So now you've heard about seven wonderful people who are great, starting with that guy who's a car salesman, and ending with the little girl with nystagmus, who grew up to be a very successful businesswoman. But now you're wondering, you've heard about seven people who are born, are blind VIP, who are great. So who's number eight, you ask? Number eight would be you. Believe in yourself, accept yourself, and set out to do great things. Well, now that you know about eight people who are great, I have a Japanese proverb to share with you. I think it's quite memorable. Fall down seven times, get up eight. Something to think about. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.